all about her, her body, her mind, her wellness, her sex, her relationships, her aging, her beauty. It's Her Radio. Starring acclaimed entrepreneur and women's advocate, Michelle King Robeson, and leading women's health expert, the doc who walks the talk, Dr. Pam Peek.
All right, Michelle, does sleep have anything to do with divorce?
Yes.
Okay, now let's move to the next one. Does sleep have anything to do with your weight? Well, I know the answer
yes.
to that one. I'm a smarty pants. I know these things. So why don't we bring on board Dr. Michael Bruce, a clinical psychologist and board-certified sleep expert, who is the author of The Sleep Doctor's Diet Plan. I know we all want to hear more about this. Welcome to Her Radio, Dr. Bruce.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So happy to have you. We need help.
All right. So help us understand some of these questions. First of all, we're going to go directly to the marriage place. And that is the question, could a sleep divorce save your marriage? What is that about? What's sleep and divorce all about?
Well, so I have patients who they both, you know, one of the things I always say is before you go on, you know, match.com, you really should take a quiz to find out, does the person that you're thinking about maybe spending significant amount of time with have the same sleep habits as you? So as an example, do they go to bed at the same time as you? Does one person like it warmer than you? Does one person like it colder than you? Does one person sleep with an animal in the bed? Does one person sleep with the television on?
Wait a minute, let's go back to the animal thing. What?
Four dogs.
You'd be surprised.
Four dogs in the bed. I'm just saying. Four dogs in the
just
bed.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a lot to it. You know, just because people are compatible during the waking hours doesn't always mean that they're compatible during sleeping hours. And sleep is such a critical component to overall health and well-being. I have patients who say, I love you, but I'm going to the guest room. Or in some cases, they actually build a second master bedroom, believe it or not. And they find their time for intimacy, but then off to their separate bedrooms do they go, and they have, you know, their own sleep environment.
I mean, how prevalent is that? Seriously, how prevalent is that? Do you think there's, like, a lot of people doing that?
Well, I don't think there's a lot of people who are building two masters in their homes, believe it or not, I just talked to a couple of contractors, and it's not as uncommon as you might imagine. But probably less than 10%, less than 5% of people actually have two master bedrooms. But there are a large number of people who are being sent to the couch or who are going into another room because their bed partner snores, or something is going on with their bed partner that is preventing them from getting a good night's rest. Great study showed that if you sleep next to a snoring bed partner, you personally lose approximately 1 hour of sleep a night.
You do?
Whoa.
That's kind of scary, you know?
That's amazing.
And so and you're not the one with the problem, you know? The other person is. But yet when you talk to the snorer, they say, well, snoring's not my problem, snoring's their problem. You know,
well,
it's really not. It's really a couple's problem.
And they don't even admit they snore. Let's face it. You tell them they snore, and they say,
"Well, because they can't hear it." Right.
Right. They can't hear it. I've had to tape record to get them to understand.
You're not going to the tape record place. Seriously, Michelle. Oh my gosh! I mean, she's sitting there just staring at him, and just, you know. So a study came out that said that it's estimated that 25% of couples in the U.S. are actually sleeping apart. You know, they do the good night, and then they go off to separate rooms and doing that whole thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that would be probably, that would be pretty consistent with the data. So about 5 to 10% of people have their own separate bedrooms, like, formally. And then, you know, that's one in four couples. So one in the four couples that you know, one of those people, those guys are sleeping apart. And it's because of something that's disrupting their sleep. And that's what I'm calling a sleep divorce. And so, you know, is it tantamount to actually getting a divorce? Well, in some cases, yeah. I mean, there is a body of evidence to suggest that, hey, you know, intimacy occurs, but also a lot of other things occurs besides intimacy, just that emotional bond, that emotional connection to that bed partner. And, you know, let's be honest, a lot of people don't get to see their partner all day long, and then they're out and about. And when's the first time that you really get to spend any time with that person? A lot of times it's at bedtime, because if you've got kids or if you've got commitments or you're involved in charities or what have you, maybe you get the meals together, maybe you don't, but, you know, more times than not, you end up in the bed together. And by ending up in the bed together, that's where a lot of that emotional connection occurs. And if you can't be in bed together because one person likes it too hot, one person likes it too cold, one person likes the TV on, one person snores, you got a real problem on your hands.
So what do you do? How do you fix this? I mean, what are like the top three things you should do?
So have I convinced you of the importance of this this aspect to sleep?
Well, no, you didn't have to, honey.
You didn't have to. We live it.
we're living it. I got sleep apnea going on with mine, and she's got dogs, and you know,
and I can't sleep.
Yeah,
I can't.
And you don't sleep at all.
No, I don't sleep. So I've got that issue, and then. How do you fix it?
So there's lots of different ways to deal with this. So the very first thing is it's all about communication. So the very first thing is everybody's got to be open to the idea that one person's habit may be another person's horror, right? And so let's talk about pets in the bed, okay? So lots of people, especially if they have small dogs or cats, sleep with their animals in the bed with them. I mean, let's be honest. They're snuggly, they're warm, they're cozy, and they're great to have around. And they burrow in.
Oh, I thought you were talking about my husband.
Well, I don't know. You may be sharing more than you want to.
TMI. But, you know, TMI.
but one of the things that happens is, for example, some people will do this not with small animals, but with larger animals. You know, I've got patients who came through the door and said, you know, I've got a 90-pound golden retriever that sleeps in our bed. I've got a 120-pound Great Dane that sleeps in our bed, you know. So, number one, let's look at the size of the bed itself. You know, if you're sleeping in a queen-size bed and you've got two animals in there, maybe time to get a king-size bed. Number two, find a dog bed or a cat bed and then put it on the end of your bed. That way your animal is close by. But they, and you can train them to sleep in their little sequestered area. So that way they're close to you, you're close to them, but then they're not interrupting your bed partner. They're not in between you and your bed partner. Give them their space by, number one, having a bigger bed, but number two, by having an area just for them. And you can train them to do that. Now, believe me, cats are harder to do this than dogs, but it's possible. And we've done this on numerous occasions for people. Children is another factor. I can't count the number of times that I've woken up and all of a sudden there's my daughter and she's in between the two of us because she burrows in from the bottom. You know, we don't even know she's made it in there. And all of a sudden, wham, there she is, you know. And so talking with her about the importance of letting mommy and daddy have their time in their bed by themselves is important, because when I turn over in the middle of the night and all of a sudden I hear a screech because my daughter is there, it wakes me up. I don't know what's going on. I become discombobulated, and then, you know, lo and behold, it's hard to go back to sleep. So having her understand that this is my place to sleep and she has her place to sleep is going to be an important form of communication. Now let's talk about the snoring bed partner, because that's one of the biggest ones. Yeah. So what I often tell my patients is decongest for better rest, and that's how I put it. So one of the biggest problems with snoring has to do with nasal congestion, especially during the springtime and during the wintertime. So springtime, we've got all the allergens in the air. Wintertime, we've turned on the heat. So all the dust and gunk and gross stuff from the vents is now popping through and running through our air system. So number one, get an air filter if you can, and filter that air so you can pull some of those allergens out of the air, because that can certainly be helpful. Number two, I recommend to people neti pots and saline spray all the time.
Oh, I love that. Neti pot, I think that works really well. That works really, really well. You know, Dr. Michael Bruce, you have done a phenomenal job of answering the question, could a sleep divorce save your marriage? As it turns out, you've got great pointers, communication, decongest for better rest, just fabulous, and developing limits and boundaries with your family and your spouse about who's in bed, how big that bed is.
And the dogs.
No question. Please make sure to read the Sleep Doctor's Diet Plan, Dr. Michael Bruce. We thank you.